Hey everyone, today's episode could not be more important, especially considering the situation we're in today. I was joined by the legendary big wave surfer, Laird Hamilton, and we talked about our health and how it should be our number one priority. Join me for all this and more on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook. Laird Hamilton in the house. What's up, man?
I'm joining you.
Yeah, you are. You have such a great perspective on life. I'd love to get some of your advice and perspective on not only being outside, but, you know, making the most of this opportunity that we have, this pause that we have.
Well, I mean, in a way, I think it's forcing us to be together, you know, with at least with our immediate family and the people that we can be around. And, you know, normally we're looking for ways to be together or we're not, or we're like, you know, people are trying to run from that intimacy. But I think this is a little bit, it's like being forced on us. And it seems to, you know, do one of two things, either bring out, you know, stuff that you don't want to bring out, or it's in, you know, it's magnifying, you know, the things that are important. At least for me, I know that I just really have been, you know, let's not get carried away. It's a heavy time and people are dying. So there's that dominant cloud that's over all of us. But, you know, being with your family and being in with your kids and having everybody really close makes you feel, you know, you feel it makes you feel safer in a way. I think there's something about having everybody that you care about close to you. And then maybe that's why we do that. That's why we're doing this, is because it's like, okay, how do we feel the safest? Well, get everybody you care about and get together and be in a house. And then either everybody's going crazy, you know, or, you know, you're enjoying, you know, that being together and just about, you know, what's important in life. You know, it's like, it seems to be that's part of what's going on.
Yeah. You know, there's a nice balance between figuring out who is actually relative to you, is the way that I look at it, right? We're around people, but it really gives me an opportunity to say, who's the most relative people to me, and who am I really reaching out to, and who am I living with, and who am I helping? But then on the other side, you know, really productive people, it's a forced pause to say, hey, wait a second. Maybe I'm doing things a little bit, you know, wrong. I'm, you know, so busy tripping over dollars, I'm picking up pennies, you know. And I see a lot of that going on in business. A lot of people have been tripping over their dollars to pick up pennies. Yeah. And all of a sudden they're figuring out really great ways to pick up dollars again and share them with others. For you, you know, looking at the timing of staging this out, what do you think the biggest challenge is going to be as we evolve through this process?
Well, I mean, you know, and I don't have, you know, I'm not an expert at all. I could only see some of the obvious things will be that we're so cooped up that we're going to over accentuate, you know, our socialization. So when everybody goes back together, we're going to overdo that. And I think that's going to be, you know, I mean, besides that, you know, hey, listen, people need to get back to work that aren't working. You know, we need to, I mean, Hawaii, for example, everything's built around tourism in Hawaii, and there's just the hotels are closed, the restaurants are closed, everything's closed. And so people are out of work, and it's like, okay, great. The roads are empty, but you got to earn a living to go and, you know, and pay your bills and feed yourself. So, you know, there's a mixture of things happening. You know, there's people that are doing really well, companies that are doing well, but like you said, something important is that you know, and I don't know, the year 2020, you know, in vision means clarity, but, you know, we're getting clear right now about who's important, what's important. I don't know why toilet paper and paper towels are important, but it's, everybody decided they were. And then, you know, and part of it's that too, right? Part of it is, what do we collectively think is important? That's a big piece of it. But getting back I think I'm seeing more people concerned about their health than I ever have. You know, I mean, everywhere I look, people are out running and jogging. Okay, listen, they're not working. They're able to do that. But the truth is, I think people are also concerned about being healthier. And as we come through this thing and we get to the future, you realize that, listen, there's nothing more important than your health. I don't care who you are. Like, you want to get, it first starts with you and your health. And then you can be together with the people that you love. And then it's their health. And then it's your friends and it's their health. But it's all over. If someone's not healthy, there's nothing to talk about. We don't talk about anything else. There's nothing even else to say. Oh yeah, well, he's really rich, but he's sick. Well, none of it matters. None of it matters if we're not healthy. And so I think this is forcing people to you know, get healthy. Like, let's think about, hey, what I'm eating, what I'm doing, what I'm, you know, and listen, you said it earlier, a big part of health is what you're thinking, what you're watching, what you're listening to. I mean, this is all part of health. People just go, oh, you mean get out and run? And I'm like, no, because when you look at health, you know, in the spectrum of it, I mean, I look at it like a tire with spokes. It's like every spoke is makes the tire perfectly round. And, you know, okay, your sleep, your food, the people you're around, what you're watching, you know, all of these things, these are all spokes in your health. And I think that coming into the future, people are going to be, and there's an aspect, I think there's a human ability to completely forget everything and just go, just when it's over, go on like nothing happened. I think that's part of evolution. I think we have a mechanism in us that we can just kind of go, you know, in 5 years we'll go, what virus or what sickness or whatever. I don't, you know, it's like, what are you even talking about? You know, that's an interesting phenomenon as well.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Jewish culture, and, you know, as a little kid, I was so frustrated when everyone made such a big deal, you know, you got to remember the Holocaust, you know, we must remember, we must, and ironically, that's a really big thing in my life, because when 2008 happened, you know, to me, that was my personal event, you know, that was the one, and so that theme of I must remember, allowed me to be here and prepared and in just an extraordinary situation in 2020 to expand, accelerate, and grow. The other interesting thing is, you know, I had a conversation with my mom, and, you know, I'm launching a series called The Secrets of Life. I'm interviewing people over 80 and just asking them, hey, give me your secret to life, to figure out. And what I'm finding is, you know, the thermostat of life is not your bank account. Let me just tell you that. Nobody's told me that yet. But my mom told me, you know, something interesting that made me reflect, and I'm listening to you and it was aligned with your values. I said, Mom, if I could tell you anything that you wanted to know every day about me to make you happy, to build our relationship, you know, what would give you that peace, that pride of being your son? You know, because I have my own kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you want from me is basically what I was saying. And she said, there's four things I want to know. One, you're healthy. Right? Which is exactly what you said. Number one, I just want to know you're healthy. Two, you're happy. I want to know every day. Tell me you're happy. Three was interesting because you said, you know, I want to know that you appreciate me, which means that she's added value to my life. That's the way I take appreciation. Car appreciates, it adds value. You know, houses appreciate, goes up in value. That my life has gone up in value because of her. I appreciate her. And then finally, to me, you know, that I love her. And I think those four things are real important because, you know, my wife told me about 2.5 years ago, I was like getting heavy because I was really working on helping my family and my associates and my office and the community and even the world. Yeah. You know, I was chairman of Unstoppable and Junior Achievement. And my wife looked at me and I said, babe, what can I do for you? And she looked at me, she goes, you can only do one thing for me. I'm like, what's that? She goes, start taking care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of anybody. And I know if you take care of yourself, you'll take care of everybody. And when I look at you, Laird, you know, that really, you run that part of your life so well. And you're someone that I've looked up to that, you know, really appreciates the fact that I'm going to take care of myself to take care of others.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it starts with you, right? And so if I'm not okay, how can I do anything for any, and, you know, and also if you have your children and the people around you, friends of yours that they look to you, you know, they're looking at you like, okay, you know, what's he doing or what's important? And I think I think that, you know, to be an example, like if you're going to be an example, then be an example, like be like what's your, cause if you don't take your own health you know, important, like if you don't say, hey, my health is important to me, then you can't ask anyone else to take their health and have it be important to them. And so I think it's an interesting dynamic. And listen, the guys that I've looked up to in my life that as they got older, it was like, you know, they could take care of themselves. Cause I think that's one thing that none of us ever want to do. I think that as we get older, we never want to need to be taken care of. I think that's kind of I think when I look at older people and if anything is an issue for them, it'll be that they're a burden on somebody else. And so I would like to, you know, as you think about the future, you go, okay, listen, I never want to be a burden on anybody. So I got to make sure I can carry my own stuff. I can do my own thing. And also just to continue to live the higher quality of life. I think that if you want to have good thinking, you know, I remember one time I met Elon Musk at a SpaceX thing, and they were talking about Mars and the whole thing. And then I just said to him, I go, well, how are you doing with this? Like, how are you taking care of this thing? Because imagine the potential. If you're really nurturing that, it's like Leonardo da Vinci. I mean, that guy was healthy. He ate good. He was a strong guy. Fitness was a big, I connect physicality to good thinking, to being healthy. Like if you're healthy, hard to be really healthy. And then, okay, listen, there's some people that pull it, but you're not maximizing
right, the
opportunity of your intelligence, I believe, if you're not taking care of your system.
You're limiting your quantum ability, right? Like those people that aren't healthy, that achieve a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
They would take it to a whole nother level.
Absolutely.
If they were healthy. That's the key point. Last thing real quick, you know, I'm good friends with your friend McDermott, right? I have, I actually got the picture in Portugal when he rode that huge wave. And I love his perspective on fear. I think right now my fifth practice of life is practicing ending fear and understanding. And nobody understands the relationship to the ego and the relationship to fear than a big wave surfer.
You know, it's interesting that we talk about it. We've been talking a lot about it. I think my own personal experience, somebody asked me where I get courage from. And I said, I get courage from faith, you know, from believing, believing it's going to be okay. Believing in something, belief is where I get courage from. I think one of the things that's happening right now is, you know, I always say living is hard and dying is easy. I mean, dying takes a second. Living takes, you know, can take 80 or 90 or 100 years.
Or more.
Yeah, so, you know, living is a lot of work and is hard and dying is very easy. But I think we have a real, I don't think people have a great relationship with death. I think what's happening right now is that death has a name and it's out there. It's always there. It's always been there. People are always, we're always under the threat of it. I think it's important to, you know, I know from the experiences that I've had, that your relationship with death will that's the apex of fear. And then everything related to it, like social acceptance. Okay. Cause I might die everything's always goes back to death, right? It's always goes, oh, if I'm not socially accepted, you know, fear of public speaking, because if I don't get accepted, I might die. If I can't earn a living, then I won't be able to eat. Then I might die. Like it always goes down. It always trickles down to the very end final thing, which is the fear of death, because it's the unknown. And I think that's something that people have a hard time dealing with is when we don't know. Then the more you embrace it. There's a great book called The Art of Fear. I don't know if you've been able to see it, but her name's Christine Ulmner, but she changes the vocabulary with fear and talks about it as something to embrace, that you're not scared. You're scared, but are you ready to be scared today? Like, it's okay. Like, being scared is completely normal. It's an emotion. Fear is an emotion like joy and happiness and anger and fear are actually, you know, what she calls them, the Siamese twins. But you know, the fear is, anger is also a result of being scared. I mean, if you look at people that
fear's
are really
the primary.
Angry,
fear is the primary, then everything else is secondary.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. And I think that, you know, having faith in that things are, you know, like Gabby sometimes asks me, you know, when we're in a situation, we've been exposed to some different things over the last few years, hurricanes, floods, fires, things that, you know, that represent death. And she said, you know, like she asked me like, what do you think? And I go, well, so far, I think everything's been okay. Everything is okay. And everything's going to be okay. And that no matter what happens, you know, we don't know, all of it, but you have to have some faith in it and believe that it's going to be okay. That we, you know, we're going to be provided for, that we're going to, you know, that we're going to make it through. And if we're not, that we're going to, you know, we're going to go somewhere that's going to be, it's going to be okay. Or it's not, but it won't matter anyway, because we're not there. You know, it's like,
that's what I love.
I think it's that, you know, I know from my experiences, that I have a good relationship with dying. You know, I, and you spoke earlier about the one thing you don't want to have is regrets while you're living. You don't want to look back. And like you said, you never think about how much money you have or this, you know, it's more about, oh, I wish I would have tried this business, or I wish I would have attempted that thing. I wish I would have, you know, the regrets usually come from things that you were probably scared of.
Yeah, for sure. And that, and people find that when they get out of here, you know, gosh, I wish I would have done this during these 8 weeks, 12 weeks. Yeah. The same exact thing is going, yeah. God, you know, I could have, and I hear that in sports all the time, right? Well, I wish I would have been a professional this. I go, well, you know what? We'll see. But yeah. It's more the mindset that I'm worried about. But, man, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your wisdom with us.
You.
And your energy, man. Go out in the water. Enjoy the day. And enjoy the life.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go do something to earn it. I got to earn my food, you know.
I got it, man. Okay. Me too. Thanks all so right. much. Enjoy your weekend, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.